Thank you for your having me. And isn't it great to come in person? Over the last 2 years, I've preached at a number of churches that I've never been to, which involved sending a video that they could play it in the church congregation as they met to worship. But I pray as we enjoy this time of fellowship together that God would really speak to us as we open his word. As I'm going through this talk today, I'm using the New Living Translation. So if some of the words are slightly different, don't be too put off by that because they have the same meaning. Well, it's particularly great, isn't it, as we come together when everything over the last couple of years has either been put on hold or delayed or cancelled, a time of constant change and challenge, where the tunnel may have seemed very, very long and the light at the end of it may have been very, very dim indeed. Plenty of opportunity for worry, isn't there? Worry to take hold or questions to arise or ways in which we could get distracted. And yet the great hope that we have is that we don't live this life alone, do we? It's a privilege to be able to open God's word this morning that we've heard read to us and to understand from Philippians 4 again about not just what it means to live completely for God, but some indications and some encouragements on how we can do that. And friends, this passage, the Bible gives us three clear encouragements that I want to have a think about this morning in hard times and in good times. In verses 4 to 5, there is to have an attitude of joy. Verses 6 to 7, to have prayerful dependence. And verses 8 and 9, that we would be involved in positive action as God's workers. So my prayer is those would both instruct you and encourage you as we meet this morning. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that it is applicable to us as much now as it was when it was written. We pray, Lord, that your spirit would speak to our hearts, that you would quieten our thoughts, and that we would hear you ministering to us again through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what does it mean to completely trust someone or trust something? I read recently about a family who took their grandmother to the airport for her first plane flight, but she hadn't been very excited about leaving the ground or getting on this contraption called an aeroplane. And when they met her at the airport on her return, one of the family members kidding her asking, "Well, did the plane hold you up okay?" She grudgingly replied, "Well, yes, it did," and then quickly added, "But I never did put my full weight down on it." And I wonder if, a bit like Grandma, sometimes when it comes to trusting God, we do the same in our Christian lives. We're kidding ourselves, really, aren't we? We haven't really grasped the reality of trusting him, of living for him. We can lean on him, but in reality, we're not being sustained completely by him. And probably like many of us today, we're hesitant or for some reason unable to put our full weight down on him, and we're still grasping that bit of self-reliance, like Grandma on the plane holding herself up a bit on the plane. And that can quickly lead to anxiety, can't it? And worry and doubt. But God gives us, and more so invites us, to trust him completely. Well, many of us have done a lot of flying over the years, but in the same way we can't really experience a flight well by just leaning on the chair, let's not do it in our daily walk with God. And this passage in Philippians, as we've just heard with a wonderful illustration in that kids' talk, it's a pretty clear instruction, isn't it? And indeed, we should put our full weight down on God. As we consider our call as a mission organization to take the gospel to the nations, all of us, those mission workers who go, or those who stay as partners who support in prayer, must trust God completely. Well, the Apostle Paul, isn't he, is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, encouraging them. And in these first verses of chapter 4, it's following on from what's happened in the past. It answers some of the things that we saw at the end of chapter 3. It's always good to look at that transition word, isn't it? It starts with therefore. Because of what we've just read before, therefore. And Paul has just compared those who live for themselves in the world and those who live for God, the temptations that exist in the world and the truth of Christ's return. Therefore, a heartfelt request to stay true to the Lord. It's really an exhortation to the whole church, isn't it? Stay true to the Lord. He was not there with them. He was probably in prison, and he's hearing about divisions in this growing that are growing in this church between co-workers in the gospel. Unfortunately, that might be encouraging to you that there was disputes happening amongst co-workers even then. And Paul's appeal in verse 2 is interesting, isn't it? Because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreements. Not because you have to like each other, but because you belong to the Lord. Your siblings in Christ's family, gospel workers, examples of who Christ is. Paul most likely is remembering the happy times, the effective times of ministry with these co-workers, and that unity of purpose and focus on the gospel needs to be restored. How easily personality clashes can be a distraction in living for him, living for the Lord. And together with this dispute and that Paul was possibly facing death, he now takes time out to encourage in the following verses, gaining victory over worry, division, and distraction in order to live a life completely for God in his service. So let's have a look at these three encouragements briefly this morning. Firstly, in verses 4 and 5, there's an encouragement here, isn't there, to have an attitude of joy. Now, what I want you to notice in these verses too, as we go through, that there are these words of full measure. We don't serve a God of half measures, do we? We serve a God of full measure. And we're starting out here with this word always. Always be full of joy, verse 4. That right attitude that we should be and look at our life in Jesus and the result for those around us when we are always full of joy. And to be filled with joy here is not to have joy just about your garden or your new car or your football team or that they won last night, but in the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Despite everything, have joy. James tells us to consider it pure joy when troubles come. Not something that probably popped into your mind in March 2020 as the world collapsed around us with the whole COVID pandemic. But it's a reminder for all of us here, isn't it? And so with all our being, recognize completely who God is, what Jesus has done for us. Indeed, it's sometimes hard, isn't it, when we look at what's happening around the world. We've just prayed for Ukraine. We know people who are sick and unwell. But knowing and recognizing joy in the Lord is vital. We serve the Creator of all, don't we? The Savior of the universe. It always amazed me when we were living and working in West Africa, the joy that was constantly present in people, people who had nothing in the eyes of the world, yet were full of joy, could rejoice in who God is and what he had done for them. Well, in verse 5, it goes on with another one of these full measure words, that everyone would see that you are considerate or gentle in all that you do. Now, friends, this is really only possible if we get verse 4 right, isn't it? With an attitude of joy. We are enabled and that everyone will see our gentleness in all that we do. How important is that in walking as one of God's people before others? I'm sure you've been challenged over these last 2 years of the situations in your work, in your family, here at church. Decisions made yesterday are obsolete tomorrow. A pressure cooker where gentleness might actually go out the window, but where being considerate is not always in focus. And importantly, here we're encouraged by Paul here to remember the Lord's return. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do, and remember that the Lord is coming soon. Remember the Lord's return and work for him and through him with joy. Having an eternity perspective in all we do, we must choose joy. And what a wonderful reminder in the kids' talk this morning that it's said twice. That's always a good indication, isn't it, to read it again. So have that attitude of joy. Just now and again, always have an attitude of joy that everyone would see that you are considerate. Well, a second encouragement comes in verse 6 and 7, doesn't it? In prayerful dependence on God. We can't do it alone. Our motto at SIM is by prayer, a lived life of prayerful dependence in our own lives and with our team of partners at home who pray. When Jenny and I were serving in Burkina, we had one couple who said, every Monday, we will be praying for you. What a wonderful encouragement to know on a Monday morning, whatever was happening for us, they were praying. And I really like the way the NLT translation puts it in verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. There's those full measure words, isn't there? There's no escaping it, is it? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We were driving back from a picnic outside of Ouagadougou, which for those who don't know is right in the middle of Burkina Faso in central West Africa. And as you may have experienced when you're in a place like that, it's very, very dark. And as we were driving back out, there were three cars following us and we came out of this bush track onto a laterite plain and I drove out onto it and I could not see the path home. We drove to the right as the lights shone into the distance and didn't know where we were going. I drove to the left, the same thing. I started talking quietly to Jenny saying, I can't find the track home. I don't know how we're going to get back. A little voice from the back seat burst forth. Dear Lord Jesus, I don't want to spend all night out here. Please help us find the track home. Amen. That was Erin's prayer. She was going to not worry about anything and she was going to pray about everything. But it was a wonderful example for all of us, isn't it? To pray, to trust God. And Paul uses three words for right praying here. In prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And again, those words of full measure. So anything and everything in verse 6. Well, one author reminds us that worry is wrong thinking and wrong feeling, and worry is the thief of joy. Interestingly, the old English root for the word worry actually means to strangle. And so Paul's instruction here is that prayer should replace all the worry completely. If there's one thing to be sure of in the last 2 years, that it's certainly challenged and improved my prayer life. Let's have that practice of prayer in all things, friends, on all occasions. Worry is not going to achieve anything, is it? And interestingly, worry is often inward looking. What am I going to do? Prayer, in contrast, is outward looking. Lord, please help me. So we can tell God what we need and thank him for all he has done. 1 Peter 5:7 says that we should cast or give all our cares and worries on him because he cares for you. What a wonderful promise. I sat in our lounge room in the middle of 2020 with workers being evacuated from one of our countries, with no certainty of continuing flights being able to happen at one of the airports they had to go through. We had backup flights booked on another airline. I had WhatsApp messages coming back and forth as they got on the plane, as they arrived at the next place. I had phone calls well after midnight. Plenty of scope for worry, but lots of opportunity for prayerful dependence. And I can tell you, friends, I told God pretty clearly what we needed that night. And it was wonderful to thank him for his answer as the people were able to get off the plane, go to the transfer desk, get the boarding pass for that next flight and get on the plane and come home. It was received and the journey continued. I think what's important here is that we thank God not just for the answers in the moment, though, isn't it? But be thankful for all he has done, the big things and the little things. Yes, answers to the prayers that we make, but also the source of joy that comes in Jesus dying for us on the cross, that our sins would be forgiven. A worry-free eternity that leads us to experience God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. Another word of full measure. Everything we can understand will be exceeded. So God's peace is truly out of this world, isn't it? Enabling us to live completely for him. What's amazing here for me is that God will guard our hearts from worry in our hearts and our minds. And we need to acknowledge him, don't we? We need to acknowledge our need for him and never hesitate to tell him. Jesus, in response to his disciples' questions, actually gave us the framework for prayerful dependence, didn't he? in the Lord's Prayer. The acknowledgement of God, our physical needs, our spiritual needs, our relationships with others. Probably why at language school, at the little Christian language school in Paris, we got to learn the Lord's Prayer in French, and we had to memorize it and we had to know it, that we would clearly understand and be able to explain what it means to have this prayerful dependence in our Lord, always, for everything. So we're encouraged to have an attitude of joy and to have prayerful dependence. And the third encouragement is positive action in verses 8 and 9. We have a part to play in Christ's service, don't we? God is our source of joy and prayerful foundation, but there is a final step of faithful action for us. And these last two words start with another important transition word, if you can see it there. And now, or finally. That means wake up and pay attention. And now, or finally, the preceding verses have been a self-examination of who Christ is and the importance of total reliance on him in prayer. And what I find interesting here is that the action or instruction that Paul now gives in verses 8 and 9 are only possible because of the peace that's going to guard our hearts, that we know we have Christ guarding us. And here are words of positive action, final encouragements at the end of this letter. And these would be appropriate, wouldn't they? The concluding remarks to mission candidates going out to the field. Or maybe even an encouragement to you also as you go out into the world this week. Well, there's two things that come up. Firstly, in verse 8, we need to nourish our minds in ways that God honored, with fixing our thoughts. Attach them. Be sure of them. That gives cause to praise our Lord. It's all about right thinking, isn't it? Not to lapse back into worry or doubt or criticism, but to do all of these things that are true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Attitudes of strengthly, godly character. As we read and study God's word, this would build a spiritual resilience in us to wrong thoughts or self-reliance. And the reality is, friends, isn't it, that they will govern and direct our actions, these words. Remember what we read in verse 1? Stay true to the Lord. And here is attitudes of right thinking that enable us to do that. That everyone would see our gentleness or how we are considerate, able to exercise joy in all we do and reflect our dependence on God in living for him. Well, Paul then finishes the section with the call to follow his example in the way he lived for Jesus in verse 9, with a call to right living. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. So we are to be doers of the word, aren't we, as James reminds us. We need to keep putting into practice means that it needs to become our default. Maybe it's a bit like the computers we have or the car that I have, that if you mess it all up, you need to press the return to default settings. This is what Paul is getting at here. Return to the default settings that you know in the Lord. We need to keep putting them into practice, particularly that we trust God with joy, that we pray earnestly, that we nourish our minds and know God's peace and presence. And Paul uses two paired words here. Did you see them? Learned and received. That is the teaching that has been given on Christian doctrine and living. And then heard and seen, their observation of Paul in how he lived and spoke. And those full measure words are there again, aren't they? Keep putting into practice all you've learned from me, everything you've heard, that we would be equipped to go on with God's peace, as these readers would be equipped to go on with them as they live their lives. But that really is key for all of us, isn't it? In the work that we do as mission workers, or in our churches, or in our families, let's live and work as Jesus has instructed us through his word here. We have the God of peace beside us who can overcome all worry. Let's not act like grandma on the plane who thinks that she can step up a bit. Let's lean on God completely. not keeping a bit of control for ourselves, but trusting him with an attitude of joy and prayerful dependence and positive action. That we would be effective servants of the gospel in every circumstance, bringing glory and honor to Jesus. Well, as we finish, think about what that means for you to live completely for God. He's a big God, the God of full measure, and we are in his service. Maybe that's in going into cross-cultural mission work or in living out your faith in God clearly and in a new way in your family or in your workplace, among your friends. Take a moment to confess the ways that you have hesitated or not wanted to trust God completely and have been maybe overtaken by worry. Praise the Lord for his invitation to ask what we need and pray to him. Give thanks for the gift of salvation in his Son, Jesus, and the constant presence he is with us. We serve a God, friends, of full measure. We can trust him with all things at all times and need to live a life completely for him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, God that you are, that we don't have to hold ourselves up, but we can sit back in your arms completely. Thank you for the wonderful instruction of your word, the encouragement to be people of joy for what you have done in your Son, Jesus. Help us to be joyful in all things that people would know and ask what it means. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be prayerfully dependent on you, that we don't have to worry about anything, but we can pray about everything knowing that you hear. And in us, Lord, in positive action, to fix our thoughts on you and to trust in all of the things we learn and hear and read in your word and of those who proclaim it, that we may live our lives completely dependent upon you for your glory and that others would come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.